Is your phone going to ring when
it's on silent? I vibrate.
So the truth was, I really was going to talk about this topic earlier in the week also, because somebody called me already a couple of days ago, nothing to do with the events of the last day or two. Somebody called me, they wanted to know that they're not going to be able to make it to shul. They know in advance they're not going to be able to make it to shul for Bashar Zohar, so they want to know what options are available for them. I imagine that as the week progresses, there'll be more people having the shayla. So let's see, at least we can familiarize ourselves with the basic sugya and try to understand what some of the issues involved are. So the sugya, for our purposes, begins in Shulchan Aruch. It really starts according to some Rishonim in the Gemara, but at least in Shulchan Aruch for sure. And the first of the Marmakomos, in actually the very end of Chos Chanukah, it's really the border between Chos Chanukah and Chos Purim, because there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch about the Dalet Parshios. So it's still technically Chos Chanukah. So in Siman Tafresh Behei, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes, in Tziv Zayin Yesh Omrim, Sheparshas Zachor uParshas Paraduma Chayov Lekara Midda Araisa. There are some who are of the opinion that the reading of Parshas Zohar, as well as the reading of Parshas Parah, are both obligated to be heard, both obligated to be read, min HaTorah. Now, out of these two, Parshas Zohar is a little bit easier to understand, because the Pasuk just say, Zohar HaSeshes Chol HaMolek. So the Torah does speak about Zechiras HaMolek. And as we'll see, some Rishonim interpreted that to mean that it's not just to think about it, not just to talk about it, but you have to have a Sefer Torah and minyan, the whole nine yards. But at least the notion of Parshas Zohar has its roots in the Torah. Parshas Parah is a very, very strange statement of the Shulchan Aruch, that Parshas Parah is min HaTorah. Where in the world did that come from? Where does it say in the Chumash? Because you have to hear Parshas Parah. So, although many Acharonim try to figure out different Eitzes and different ways and different Makaris for where in the world Parshas Parah came from, the Vilna Gaon's opinion was that it was actually a mistake. The Vilna Gaon claimed that it was a Tol Sefer, and it's not, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch was quoting from a Tosis, that's not supposed to be there. That line about Parshas Parah is wrong, says the Vilna Gaon. The Parshas Parah is not a Deraisa, never was Deraisa, will never be a Deraisa. The whole thing is Lahayot Vamiyolim. But the Shulchan Aruch does quote the notion, both for Parshas Zohar as well as Parshas Parah. So we can definitely take it much more serious in terms of Parshas Zohar. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, there are those who say that Parshas Zohar is a chi of min HaTorah. Lefikach, therefore, b'nei ha-yishuvim she'ein lehem minyan, people who live out on the farms, live out in the villages, and they don't have a minyan, tzrichim lavo l'machom she'esh minyan b'shubah salalu. They must leave their houses, leave their towns, and come to the big cities on these Shabbosos, they're not going to have a minyan, not going to be able to lay in on the villages and the farms, and therefore they're obligated to come to shul, to even though the rest of the year, Nebuch, they're not to have a minyan. What can you do? You can't tell a person he has to leave his house every Shabbos, but these two Shabbosos, or at least Parshas Zohar, according to those who say it's deraisa, one would have to leave one shul. The Ramah continues to go, the im-i-ef shalom lavo, it's very nice to tell them they have to come, but tachas, they can't come. Bottom line is, the guy's sick, he's not coming anywhere. The Ramah says that even though he's not going to come to shul and not going to hear Parshas Parah and Parshas Zohar in a minyan from a Sefer Torah, they should still be careful at home to read the Parsha Parshas Zohar. And they should preferably read it with the trup. They should read it like as if they're reading. If they know how, they don't know how to say the words. But the Yevid Yosef Lane without the Nigun, also without the trup, they should try to make believe like the Laning, the Nigun Asam Uvetamam. So it's not clear from the Ramah. Is the Ramah talking about that they have a Sefer Torah actually in the house? Is that what the Ramah is talking about? Or is the Ramah talking about a guy who's out on a farm? He doesn't have a Sefer Torah. He has a Chumash. He has something else. He doesn't have a real Sefer Torah. And all the Ramah is saying is that at least say the Pesukim in any shape or form, even though you're not going to get them in a Sefer Torah. So again, the starting point of this Didin Shulchan Aruch and Ramah is, clearly, person's supposed to be coming, no question about it. He's supposed to close up shop, close up your farms, and come to the big city for laning that Shabbos. If for whatever reason you can't, then the Ramah is giving you almost a second best to at least read it in some shape or form, the Kurosim and the Ginosim of Itamim. The question is, where did this come from altogether? What is the source for this whole idea that the reading of Parsha Zohar is Deraisa? So it's true that the Torah does say, Zohar Sashas Lachamolik, but the Torah does not say how to do that Zechira. The Torah doesn't say you need a minion. The Torah doesn't say you need a Sefer Torah. The Torah doesn't say anything. It says Zechira by a lot of things. There's a mitzvah of Zohar Shem Shabbos Tekatsho. You don't need a minion, a Sefer Torah for Kiddush. It says Laman Tiskos Yom Tzeis Chomer Tzitzrayim. You don't need every morning and every night a minion and a Sefer Torah for Yitzis Mitzrayim. So where did this come from? What's the idea? Where's the earlier source that somehow the mitzvah, the Araisa, Parsha Zohar, required Sefer Torah and a minion to be done once a year? So there is a Gemara that appears in the second of Marmakomos, which was just in Daf Yomi, just a little while ago. It's a sugya both in Maseches Brachos, as well as in Maseches Gittin. The Gemara tells the following very, very strange story. Meisvei, Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer, shenichlas lebeis haknesses v'lamotza asara. Rabbi Eliezer once came into shul, and they were one short for a minyan. V'shichra avdo v'shlumel yasara. It happened to be that he had an Eved Kenani with him. An Eved Kenani, someone who started out being not Jewish, and he didn't quite convert completely out of bris, and he went to the mikvah, but not for the purposes of being Jewish, but rather to being somewhere in the middle, called being Kedushas Eved Kenani. So some halachas apply to him, and others do not. One of the halachas that does not apply to him is the notion of a minyan. He does not count towards a minyan. So here, the tzibur was in a pickle. There were nine people, and there was one Eved Kenani. So Rabbi Eliezer went ahead and he freed the Eved Kenani. So the din is, once you write a shtashich, once you free the Eved Kenani, then he becomes like a regular full-fledged ger, and then he becomes a regular Jew, and he's mitzvah for a minyan. So that was Rabbi Eliezer's great solution to the problem, that he freed his Eved in order to be mashlim the minyan. So the Gemara is puzzled, the Gemara is wondering how he was able to do that. V'hechi Yavid Hachi, what right did Rabbi Eliezer have to free his Eved? Rama Rav Yehuda, kol m'shachar avdo Eved b'yaseh. Generally speaking, a person is not supposed to free their Eved Kenani unless there's some very, very unique circumstances. Shnemel olam em tavodu. So it's almost like an aveira. It's called, according to Sabbath Mamash Shavu deraisa, to just stop free the Eved Kenani for no reason. So the Gemara says, what right did Rabbi Eliezer have to free him? The Gemara says, no, there was a big reason. L'dvar mitzvah shiny. It was for the purposes of a minion. So yes, the Gemara, mitzvah babi averi. That's not a good enough reason. That's a mitzvah babi averi. How can you sanction to violate the Isra Meshachar Avdo just to make a minion? Says the Gemara, no, mitzvah derabim shiny. It was a very, very important mitzvah because it was nine other people waiting, so they had a daven a minion, so they needed a minion. A mitzvah derabim has the ability to overturn this Isra of the Olam Bam Tavod, whatever this Isra is. There is a big machlokes to be shown him whether this Isra of the Olam Bam Tavod is really deraisa, is only derabanan, asmach. It's not exactly clear what the parameters of this Isra are. But one thing the Gemara is very clear is that it was very, very important to be mashed in the minion. It was so important to make the minion that we were even able to look the other way when it comes to certain Isurim. Certain Isurim are permissible in order to be mashed in this minion. So the question is, what exactly did they need this minion for? What was the great tzarich? What was the emergency that they needed this minion for? So the Rosh in the third of the Mamakomas quotes the story, and the Rosh will pick it up from the end of the second line. The Olim Esei the Rabim, the great mitzvah of the Rabim, the Chsiv Nikdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael. So we're going to daven in a minion, we're going to be able to say Dvarim Shev Kedusha. If you don't have a minion, you can't say Kaddish, you can't say Kedush, you can't say Baruch Hu. So that grandiose mitzvah of Nikdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael is so important, it could enable you to violate the Yisr of Meshachar Avdo. What's the Yisr? What's the mitzvah? What's the great mitzvah? Tainu Esei the Mekachin Hashem V'Yasar B'Rabim. Even though the truth is, what do you need this minyan for? Between you and me, says the Rosh. What, to say Kaddish? To say Kedusha? To say Baruch Hu? Those are not mitzvahs d'araisa. Even though these are filo avi milsa d'rabbanan, tigil d'shma Kedusha or Baruch Hu, so afa b'cheid, it's still important, and it's still enough for a reason to violate the Yisra of Liol b'hem tavodu. So comes the Rosh and says, Shalom atzido ika min haTorah. Even though it doesn't say in the Chumash to say Baruch Hu, doesn't say that in the Chumash to say Kedush or Kaddish, those are not mitzvahs d'araisa. Doesn't matter. It's still, the mitzvah sharabim is more important than lo amim tavodu. But now the Rosh throws it almost like an afterthought, like an aside, he says. Oh, by the way, don't tell me that the minyan that was necessary here was to fulfill a mitzvah d'araisa. Because that doesn't sound like in the story. The Gemara doesn't tell you what they needed the minyan for. It sounds like it was a regular Tuesday afternoon mincha. Don't tell me a story. It was a minyan that was needed deraisa. The Rosh doesn't believe it. But in his expression of his disbelief, he tells us a tremendous chiddush. He says, don't tell me the minyan deraisa. And what would that minyan have been? So listen to how the Rosh formulates what would have been the requirement of a minyan deraisa. So the lo mistabali the barabi asar deraisa kigon likros pasha zochashu min haTorah. That was the example of a minyan deraisa. Out of all cases under the sun, the Rosh had to dig up looking for a mitzvah deraisa that requires a minyan. It was pasha zochar.
Would he have been allowed to be mashachar his eved on Shabbat?
That's another question. How can you even pull off a shichur eved? And it's not even so poshut. Depending on what you think the method of shichur eved is. If you think that shichur eved can only be done with a shtar, that would be pretty hard to pull off on Shabbos. If you believe that there may be other ways of doing it, then we could possibly discuss doing that even on Shabbos, even though it's a kinyan.
Was the minhag always to do it on a Shabbos? Maybe in those days they didn't necessarily do it.
No, well, the reading of the Parashat Zohar itself is already way, way old. That already appears in the Mishnayos. I mean, that was already back for the days of Ezra.
That the fact that
yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. So the Rosh, again, the Rosh doesn't think this pshat in the Gemara. Don't be dochek this into the Gemara, says the Rosh. But if you would have been dochek, so then the Rosh says, yeah, this would have taka been a mitzvah d'araisa. So this is a very, very loaded statement of the Rosh. The Rosh is telling us that the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek, although it says in the Chumash, Zochas Shaschal HaMolek, it doesn't say who, what, where, when, which Sefer Yeshua. The Rosh just put a whole story to this mitzvah. That this mitzvah is not enough just to talk about a Molek. We have to actually read from a Sefer Torah in a minyan with a Kriyas HaTorah, the real McCoy. That is the fulfillment of this mitzvah. Pashas on the love of the Araisa. It's a Chiddush Gadol, what the Rosh is saying, but that's how he's learning pshat, or how he's not learning pshat in the sugya, in the Gemara, in Maseches Gittin. Notwithstanding the Rosh's opinion, the Rambam clearly does not agree to this. The Rambam, if you take a look at the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, so the Rambam writes, in Uchus Balacha Barakei Alocha Hei, V'chein mitzvahs esei la'abed zecher amalek. So there are two mitzvahs relating to amalek. One is to destroy amalek. Shnematimcha zecher amalek. U'mitzvahs esei, the mitzvah that's more relevant for us today. U'mitzvahs esei lizkor tamid Maisav Haroim V'Arivoso. One should constantly remember and focus, always think about the terrible things that Amalek did, how they attacked us, Ramesh in the desert, they attacked the weak people, they attacked the old people, the children, for no reason. They weren't trying to conquer any land, and there was no agenda. It was just Stam Sinus Yisrael, just for the sake of destroying Klal Yisrael. Why does the Torah want us to remember this? K'del Ora Ivoso. We should remember. We have to be Ora ourselves and how we're supposed to respond back to Amalek. Shenema Zochas Hashestoch Amalek. Now, how does that pasuk tell me that we're supposed to talk about Amalek? That says to remember Amalek. V'piyash Molam, the Teshuva Peh explains to us, we have a tradition that Zochar B'peh, Lo Sishkach B'leiv, Sh'os Lishkach Evasav Sidasai. There are two parts of the mitzvah relating to remembering Ma'is Amalek. One is to actively remember it by speaking about it. It's not enough just to think about it. And number two, you're not allowed to forget it, believe. So the Rambam is also quoting the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek, but there are a few things missing from the Rambam's formulation. There's no Sefer Torah, there's no shul, there's no minyan, there's no announcement from the Gabbai, this is Pasha Zohar. None of the above is just simply talking about a Malek, even out of the context of what we call Pasha Zohar. That seems to be the mitzvah deraisa. So there appears to be a major, major machlekes between the Ram and the Rosh. What exactly is the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek? Everyone agrees it's one of the tag mitzvahs. Everyone agrees it has to be done prepared. That mipi hashmo lomdo. Everyone agrees it's not enough just to think about it. But what do you have to do? So according to the Rambam, you have to talk about it when you get a chance. So right now we're talking about a Malek. We're getting a mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek. Whenever you talk about a Malek on a Tuesday night, Tuesday afternoon, Monday, and the summer, winter, you name it, whenever you talk about a Malek, that's a mitzvah deraisa of Zechiras HaMalek. And the Rosh says no. The Rosh says the Chiris HaMalek has a very, very particular tzura to it. And the tzura has to be the tzura of a Kriyas HaTorah in a minyan and shul, the whole 9 yards. Now, even the Rambam agrees that we lay in Parsha Zohar. As we said before, the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah records the laying of Parsha Zohar. So the Rambam understood that the laying of Parsha Zohar is not the mitzvah d'araisa of Zechiras HaMalek. The laying of Parsha Zohar is not all that different than the laying of Parsha Shkolim or Parsha Parav HaChodesh. It was a takonis chacham to lay, the chacham instituted to lay many, many times. We lay on Shabbos, we lay on Yontif, we lay on Meshchadish, we lay Mondays and Thursdays, we lay on Shabbos Mincha, we lay on Tainis Tzibros, Chanukah, Purim, we lay multiple times during the year. So one of the many, many kriyas that Chazal instituted is that four Shabbos during the year, you have to lay in a special maftir, you have to lay in this week, being Pasha Zohar. Is that the mitzvah, the araisa, the chi of Gomer, of Zechiras HaMalek? No. That's not it. The mitzvah, the araisa, the chiyas amalek, the ram is whenever you do it, whenever you decide to talk about it, that's good enough. And the Rosh is disagreeing, the Rosh is learning now that the mitzvah, the araisa of the chiyas amalek is being yotzei through the vehicle of Parsha Zohar. That is how you fulfill your mitzvah, the araisa, according to the view of the Rosh. It's a little bit problematic, according to the Rosh, because why does it have to be done every year? Where does that shear come from? Where does that magic number come from? Once a year, every year. According to the Rambam, it's not an annual mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, the Rabban of Kriyas HaTorah, once a year, Parsha Zohar. But that's not Zechiras HaMalek D'Araisa. Zechiras HaMalek D'Araisa, according to the Rambam, is whenever you talk about it. But according to the Rosh, who is connecting, who is identifying what we call Parsha Zohar with the mitzvah D'Araisa, Zechiras HaMalek, so that, how do you know? Once a year. So it doesn't say that explicitly anywhere. So the Chasam Sofer suggested the tshuva that maybe it's based on the second half of Lo Sishkach. The Torah says, remember Amalek, Lo Sishkach, don't forget it. How long do you have to, can you go before having to reinforce something? The Gemara says, boycott and shir shicha yid beis chaydish. The people tend to forget things after a year. It doesn't mean you totally, I still remember things from 20 years ago. People still remember a little bit. But lo sishkach, the memory is not as fresh anymore after a year. That's the reason why the Gemara says why a person has to observe avelus for a parent for 12 months. Because when the memory is so fresh, it's considered to be a lack of kibud avayim. Guy's going to go to a dance at a wedding. Guy's going to have a party. Guy's going to do things. And his parent just passed away within the year, and the memory is still so fresh in his mind. That's a bizoyon to the memory of the parent. After a year already, so he's not thinking about his parent. It's natural. Shir shicha yid beis chaydish. So the Chasam Sofer suggests that the shir of shicha yid beis chaydish is what ultimately requires of us to chazer over every year, once a year, to take out the Sefer Torah and read it, to fulfill the bits of the Araisa. That's why there are different versions of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer raised the question, if you have a Shana Muberes, where there are 13 months between the two others, so then maybe you're short a month, maybe you're almost in violation of Lo Sishkach. So there are some who quote the Chasam Sofer saying that in Parshas Kisetiv, that year, you have to have in mind to be Yotzei Parshas Zohar, because that way you don't go more than 6-7 months without a lady in Parshas Zohar. So some shuls are machmir to announce that, some shuls, I'm not sure what that's the minute, and the Gabbai announces that here, some shuls, they have such a kapeda on a Shana Mubarak.
In Canada, Rabbi
Shechter
gets up and announces it.
Okay, yeah, now shall we announce it also? Okay. So again, back to the story. So now that we have a machlekes and we've shown him what exactly Parshas Zohar is all about, so now we can get a better understanding what the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, we're talking about. When the Shulchan Aruch said, Yesh Omrim Sheparshas Zohar is Deraisa, the Shulchan Aruch presented it as a Yesh Omrim, because not everyone agrees to it. The Rambam clearly disagrees. The other Shabbat disagree. But the Shulchan Aruch, by quoting this Yesh Omrim, by codifying this Yesh Omrim, seems to be following that view. And the Shulchan Aruch is strongly telling the people who live on the farms that they have to be Yotzei that view. So they must come to hear Parshas Zohar. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes it as Yesh Omrim, but pretty much is saying that we pass like those Yesh Omrim. The Ramah, L'chora, is telling us that if you're able to fulfill this mitzvah according to the Rosh with the Sefer Torah and the Minyan, the whole nine yards, that's wonderful. And if you can't, at least talk about it. At least do something. At least read the Pesukim. So it could be that maybe, even to those who say there's a mitzvah deraisa once a year, maybe you don't need a formal Sefer Torah. The Ramban has such an idea. The Ramban in Alot Torah writes that maybe you don't need a real Sefer Torah for this. So therefore, the Ramah is willing to tell you that it really would be a good idea to at least take out a Chumash, do something, at least read a few Pesukim, at least to get a little bit of a Zeicha. But again, Lechet Chilush, Lechet Chilo, what is supposed to come to Shul, he had a Kriya Torah with the Minyan, with the works. Pasha according to Ram, it is. It's no, but I don't need the Sefer Torah for that. Right, I can do it right now. Right, I don't need that. Right, it's no worse than any other talking about Zohar. Right.
Everyone agreed that you had in mind when you heard, you know, the regular parsha when would it apply also to Shalach also if you were just paying attention when you heard Kriya Torah then.
Right, so that's the question. That touches on Nishra Mitzvah's Kavanah. The question is, do you require the Kavanah of the Bakari also? So the Bakari, he's just laning Farshas Kisetse. Is he having mind to be Motzi? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. So the Mishnah Berurah in the fifth of the Ramah Kabbos.
According to the Rambam, all the other Parshas which we have Sechiris on, you also have to say those or lane those once a year?
I mean, according to the Rush. That's the issue that the Ramban raises in his Parash and Chumash in Parashat Zohar. The Ramban raises that issue. He says, we have other Zechiris as well. So the Ramban seems to say, yeah. The only reason why we don't make such a fuss out of them is because a lot of those Zechiris involve Chatoim. They involve Chet Egel, they involve Chet Miriam. So we're not going to make a whole Shabbaton out of that. So we just lay it and keep it hush-hush. The only Parashat Zohar is the only one that we make a big tumult about.
But technically speaking,
but if you put together this Rosh together with Achsam Seifram, this once a year with the Zechiris, then that would follow, yeah. But it's a big Kiddush.
It doesn't say Lo Sishkach.
Right, right. That's also true. Right. It's also true. It doesn't say Lo Sishkach. Right. That's true. So the Mishnah Berurah in the fifth of the Ramah Kamos quotes to the Trumas Hadeshen, who has a startling statement. He named Trumas Hadeshen Kosov. The Shmias Kriyas Pasha Zochah B'Yasara Adiv Yaisim Mikur Megillah B'Tzibur. He says that if you have a high rock, if you can only make it a shul for one, should you come to shul for Pasha Zochah, should you come for shul for the Megillah? So the Trumas Hadeshen says it's better to come to shul for Parsha Zohar because Parsha Zohar, according to this Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, you can't be Yotzei B'Yechidus. Shemikah Megillah Das Rava Poskim Sagam is Bana B'Yochid. You can be Yotzei Megillah B'Yechidus. You don't need a minion for Kriyas Megillah. If you're Kedim, EF Shalom L'Kayim Shneim, if you're only going to make one trip to the big city, you're L'Kayim, Kriyas Parsha Zohar B'Tzibur. It's the Chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen. Aval Magen Avram Mitzadeh, the Magen Avram says not so simple. To Tov Yoseh, Sheyovah L'mochav Shekorin HaMegillah B'tzibor. Says the Magen Avram, if you can only make one trip to shul, it's better to come to shul on Purim. Why is that? What happened to Parsha Zohar? U'Parsha Zohar Yotzeh Api Adchak B'Mashe Yishma HaKriya B'Purim Parsha Zviyovah HaMolek. Says the Magen Avram, the first one to introduce this idea, that if you come to shul Purim morning, you can kill two birds with one stone. You can be Yotzeh Bal Chiyuvim. Why? Because you're going to get the Megillah, and you're also going to get V'yavu HaMolek. Says the Magen Avraham, V'yavu HaMolek is also good. So Yotzei, the Mitzvah D'Araisa. In other words, it doesn't say in the Chumash, you have to say these Pesukim B'Pashkei Seitzei. If you read a few Pesukim, so the Pesukim B'Pashkei, just as good in the Torah. So now comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, if we're going to follow this Magen Avraham's Eitzah, we're going to tell the people, so I'd stay home for Parsha Zohar, but make it sure to come to shul for the Megillah, and therefore you're going to get Parsha Zohar, you're going to get Vayav HaMolek. V'nei l'may de kaimel and the Yabasim and Samach, the mitzvah shichas kavanu. We said before that we paskin that you have to have kavanu when you're doing a mitzvah. Yetzorach v'yei shemiyah Parsha Zohar l'chav l'tzeis by mitzvah z'esha shal Zohar. So most people, if you tap a guy in shul, Purim morning, do you know that you're lady, you've been yotzei Parsha Zohar, that's what you're talking about. But if he's the guy who didn't come to shul on Shabbos, then he should really have that in mind when he's laning. We should tell the Bakari, when the Bakari lanes, but Yavam Malik, you should have in mind in case of some latecomers, some guys who missed, they got caught up with something else on Shabbos, so they can at least be yotzei with Yavam Malik. But now comes the Mishnah Berurah and makes it about face on this. Although he just quoted the Magen Avraham, who wasn't so worried about making sure you come to shul Shabbos, you can be yotzei with Yavam Malik, says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm not sure it's right. I'm not sure that you could actually be yotzei with Yavam Molek. Why not? Taksiba Torah zochas shasalachov gomer shekach baderach veizan becha timcha gomer. The Torah speaks about zechiras Molek. Then in the same breath, it speaks about melchemes Molek. Vakavana shelo lishkoach basha asal lanu Molek. So the goal of the mitzvah is clearly to remember what Amalek did. We should tell our children and all generations, he says, the Zechiras Amalek should lead to the Mechamas Amalek. The goal of the Zechiras, well, although it's a separate mitzvah, but the mitzvah is linked one to another. None of that theme is there in Parshas B'Shalach. In Parshas B'Shalach, it's simply a historical anecdote. By the way, Vayavu Amalek, Amalek came and fought, and Yeshua beat them in war and finished, end of discussion. It doesn't say what we're supposed to do about that. It doesn't supposed to say what the ramifications of that are. It's not until you get to Parshas Kiseitzeg, where the Torah says, once Amalek came, now, Timcha Zech Amalek Lo Sishkach. So comes Mishnah Berurah and says, the whole story is not complete. Lady Vayav HaMolek only tells half the story. Doesn't get to the punchline. The punchline is Mechamas HaMolek.
So you're begging the question. So why on Purim don't we read from Kiseitzeh?
There's no need to read from Kiseitzeh. We already read Kiseitzeh. We read that Parsha Zohar. So Chazal said he can be yotzei that with Parsha Zohar. Now we lay in Vayav HaMolek because it's Yodah D'Yomah, because it's related to the Purim story. But it's not because it's HaMolek, because Haman is from HaMolek. So we read over the story, but there's no need to repeat Parsha Zohar. We just read Parsha Zohar 2 days before. Most people are coming to shul for Parsha Zohar, so apparently Chazal were not so worried about that. According to the Mishnah Berurah, Chazal were not worried. The Yochid doesn't come; it doesn't come. So get back to our story. So now we have another machlokes that's developing for the fellow who couldn't come to shul. Lichat chili should come to shul and Parsha Zohar, the Raisa and the Rosh Hashita with a minion to work. That's for sure. That's the optimal. If you can't do that, so then the Rambam said, well, maybe it's good enough just to open up a Chumash and read along. Maybe. We weren't even sure about that. The Rambam says that's the next best thing. Then the Magen Avraham says, wait a second, we have a whole new option for you. True, you could have come to shul on Shabbos, but maybe you can come to shul on Tuesday. So if you can make it to shul for Purim, then you should hear by Yavu HaMolek. So now the Mishnah Berurah is saying, no, not so fast. He's not so sure that Yavu HaMolek counts. Why does Yavu HaMolek not count? Because it left out the punchline of Mechamas HaMolek. So maybe one could suggest almost a compromise view between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. Is Vayav HaMolek a good substitute for Parsha Zohar or not? Min HaTorah. So the Magen Avraham claimed absolutely yes, the Mishnah Berurah is not so sure it's true. The Machlokes is really a fundamental, underlying Machlokes. What is the relationship, or lack thereof, between Zechiras HaMolek and Mechamas HaMolek? If you understand that Zechiras HaMolek is a lead-up to Mechamas HaMolek, then the Mishnah Berurah is right. That if you don't read Parsha Zohar, then you didn't mention the punchline. If you hold that Zechiras HaMolech is a separate independent mitzvah, there's one mitzvah Mulchama, there's one mitzvah Zechiras. Zechiras has nothing to do with Mulchama. You can be Yotei Zechir without Mulchama. So that seems to be the underlying machlokes, just how linked are the two. There is another machlokes that is also linked to this, and that's whether a woman is obligated in Parshas Zoch, which we mentioned very quickly last week in passing. The Sefer Chinuch writes that women are exempt from Parshas Zohar. The reason being, because the La B'nois B'chama, since they're not participating in the Mechabes HaMalek, so they're not obligated in Zechiris HaMalek. And the Minchas Chinuch asks on the Chinuch, how did he know that the two mitzvahs are totally separate? How do you know the mitzvahs are connected to one another? So it seems to be the same question repeating itself. So now, for our purposes, we may be able to come up with the following compromise. If a woman missed Parshas Zohar, could she come to Shul on Purim morning and be Yotzei L'chol HaDeos? So I think the answer is yes. Because whatever you think Parshas Zohar is, I think a woman's clear on both sides. Why? If you believe that Parshas Zohar is really part of Bulchama, it's really linked to Bulchama, then women are pturos. If you believe that Zechiris HaMalek stands on its own 2 feet, nothing to do with Bulchama, so then you could be Yotzi with Parshas V'yav HaMalek. So to say that a woman can't be Yotzi with V'yav HaMalek, I think that's impossible. I think that doesn't fit. I think that a woman for sure is okay if she made it to Shul on Purim. So even those women who don't make it to Shul for Parshas Zohar, they didn't make it in the morning, they didn't make it after Daven, they make it after day. There was no, they missed everything. And Lamaisa, what should they do? So for them, I think it would be a very good idea that she come to Shul Purim morning, she hear them right before the Megillah, they'll hear laning, and she covered enough time to hear Kriyas HaTorah, women will be covered. Whether or not men will be covered by that, it's hard to say. So bottom line, what would we tell a person who cannot make it to Shul? Okay, Mamish can't, he's sick, whatever, he's not making it to Shul on Parshas Zohar, what would we tell him? So I would tell him a combination of things. I would say, first of all, take out a Chumash, Shabbos morning, and read the Pesukim. Say the words of the Pesukim to yourself. That way, at least, according to the Sipur of the Ramah, you're probably Yotzi anyway. And in addition, try to get to Shul on Purim. And if you get to Shul on Purim, try to have in mind, when they lay in Parshas V'yav HaMalek, that maybe a Yotzi with that. So a combination of the Ramah and the Magen Avraham, so I think the person is as good as he could possibly get. Again, it's not L'chachila. L'chachila person, obviously, should come to try to hear Kriyas Parshas Zohar in a minute and short. Yeah, there probably would be, because it's not 100% clear whether a Sefer Torah is critical for this mitzvah. It's the Ramban has a suffix about this in his Parashat Chumash about whether a Sefer Torah is really, really an integral part of this mitzvah or not. So if you have a Sefer Torah, that would be better. But if you don't have a Sefer Torah, it's better than nothing. So your hierarchy really is Sefer Torah with a minion and Shul, Chris Dor, the real McCoy. Next best thing is Sefer Torah privately. After that, it's a Chumash privately to get combined with the V'yav HaMalek. So we have multiple ways of trying to fulfill this mitzvah. And always in our back pocket, we always think, well, according to the Rambam, we're probably spending too much time anyway in this course, because according to the Rambam, you have to Parshas Zohar, just sit around on a Tuesday in the middle of July and tell a story about a Molech, and that's good enough. You have to bits of the rice of Zechiris and Molech. So again, yesh v'yesh. So kopanim, this halacha does come up. It's come up many, many times. And again, as we said, I have a feeling that a lot of rabbanim will be getting this shayla in the next couple of days. So whatever it is, at least we get some of the Rashi Prakam, some of the options that are available for those who are not able to fulfill the mitzvah kedasa for this.
Is that the reason why many places are against having those extra minyanim for? I mean, the way it was explained, there's really no reason.
I think it actually works. I'm not sure what to do with it, but now it works.